السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ سالم and all the students, apologies for the delay. The delay was on my end as I was not in reach of the laptop. Sincere apologies.
No problem, inshallah.
If you're ready, Sheikh, we can begin, inshallah.
Ready, inshallah.
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to our weekly lesson of the virtues of Islam with our Sheikh Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh and the Sheikh can begin inshallah. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا Sheikh Salim Al-Amri.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, The Virtues of Islam. And alhamdulillah, ثم الحمد لله, that we are Muslims. Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us Muslims. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this ummah blessed ummah, because this ummah believes in the divine guidance that Allah sent down with the deliverance and to save humanity from going astray. Because my dear brothers and sisters, a human being consists of, we as humans, we are made up of spirit, soul, body, mind, and these things, these components, they need to work together in harmony. This physical being, along with the soul, which is the driving force for this body. Without that driving force, which is the spirit and the soul, the ruh, this body is useless. When Allah made our father, created our father Adam alayhi salam, it was just peace, physical peace, body lying there. Iblis looked into it, saw it hollow, so knew that this is going to be a weak human being. Then the spirit was blown into it and life started. So without the spirit, without the soul, this body is useless, motionless. But the moment this soul is blown, life is started. So, to keep these components work together in harmony, we need to follow the divine instructions which our creator, who made this complex physique and this body, he told us how to strike the balance and how to maintain them. So the moment we drift away and decide not to follow the instructions how to maintain this complex machinery, then we start to suffer. Why we start to suffer? We start to suffer because we don't know the intricacies and the complexities about this machinery. We don't know. We don't know. Every day we are discovering things about this body. Leave alone the other driving force, the soul. We know nothing about it. So the moment we start to leave following the instructions sent down by the creator who made us, the maker, we start to suffer. And this is our problem today. This is the dilemma of humanity today. The dilemma of the humanity today is when humanity turned away, drifted away from following the divine guidance and instructions came from above, from the maker, from the creator, who knows everything about us. So the world is suffering. The world is full of tragedies, agonies, plights. Why? This is the natural outcome. When you reject the divine guidance, and remember, my dear brothers and sisters, a human being, by default, he is ignorant and arrogant. We are ignorant and arrogant at the same time. We think we know when we don't know. And this is compound ignorance. We don't know that we don't know. We think we know when in reality we don't. That's why we make blunders. And because of these blunders and this arrogance and ignorance, humanity is suffering. The traces of misery you can read on the faces of the inhabitants of this planet. These traces, these marks are vividly red, because the inhabitants of this planet decided not to follow the instructions of one who placed us on this planet. And chose not to follow his guidance, his revelation. So naturally, inevitably, what we are going through is just a natural result. Expected. You don't want to follow my way? You don't want to follow my instructions? You want to run your own life the way you like? Go and bear the consequences. And this is what we are going, this is what we are experiencing, this is what we are suffering today. Suffering from this arrogance and ignorance. The one who created us, told us this is the way, this is how you should behave. I placed you on this planet I made it suitable for your living. I provided for you everything. I made it full of resources for you, for everyone on the planet, sufficient resources. Do not corrupt it. Maintain it as is. We decided not to follow that. We decided to corrupt our ecology, to corrupt our environment, to corrupt our lives. So the result is expected: misery, agonies, pains, plights. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us clearly in his book. Allah says in Surah Taha, ayat 123-124, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah says, then when guidance comes to you from me, then whoever follows my guidance shall neither go astray nor be distressed. But whoever turns away from my reminder will have a life of hardship. Exactly. This is the proper diagnosis. This is the proper description of our situation. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. Then when guidance comes to you from me, because he loves us. He created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he loves us. And he knew our nature. He knew we are ignorant. He knew we are arrogant. That's why he's called Ar-Rabb, Ar-Rabb. You know the meaning of Rabb? From the tarbiyah. He nurtures us, develops us from one state to another, from weakness, feebleness, to strength, to maturity. This is how the curve of the son of Adam, like this. Then you reach the plateau, the peak, then you start to fall. So he knows us. أَلَا يَعْلَمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Isn't he who created knows? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. He's the most subtle, the most aware. He's so subtle. He knows the details. He is aware of everything about us. Just if you want to see the greatness of Allah and the knowledge of Allah, look into this complex machinery. Study yourself and see what the biologists, they tell you, what psychologists, they tell you. Well, amazing. He created, so he knows everything about us. And he knows what is good for us and what is bad for us, what will benefit us and what will harm us. He knows that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he provided us with his guidance because he is our Rabb. That's why you need to love this creator. He's your Rabb. He nourishes us. He nurtures us. He brings us up. He develops us. And he takes care of us. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. So when my guidance comes to you, فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى. You want to have beautiful life, balanced life, peaceful life, happy life. Do you want that? Follow my instructions. Follow my guidance. Because I love you and I provided you with the guidance. I provided you with this set of instructions. If you follow them, you will prosper and you will be successful in this life and you will enter my kingdom. You will enter paradise where you're going to have everlasting life. So you have happy life here and an everlasting blissful life in the next life. فَمَنْ اتَّبْعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. And the one who's talking is Allah. So whoever follows my hidayah, my guidance, my huda that I sent for you, shall neither go astray nor be distressed. This will never happen to him. You will not go astray. Humanity today is lost. Lost. They went astray from the straight line. From the, they are off the track. They're not on the right track. So Allah is saying, if you follow my guidance, فَلَا يَظُلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. You will not go astray, neither go astray or have misery, a miserable life, the shaqawa, nor be distressed. You will not have this misery. But the moment you leave the straight path, misery starts. And the more you go away from the straight line, from the straight path, your misery increases. So the more deviant you become, the more miserable your life becomes. What to do? Come back, come back. Come back to the straight line, come back. Come back to Allah. Because he promised that if you follow my guidance, you will never go astray. You never. فَلَا يَظِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Will not have this miserable life. Do not be distressed. Then the ayah to follow, this is ayah 124, Allah says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ, and whoever, but whoever أعْرَض, okay, turns away, عَنْ ذِكْرِي, from my reminder, from my remembrance, from my revelation, and decree. What will happen to him, our Lord? What is the inevitable outcome and result? Again, Arabic language, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ. Okay, this is harf shart, which is a letter of condition. So if, for example, you say, من درس فاز, okay, whoever studied passed. So the first part of which comes after this letter, we call it fi'l al-shart. And then the fulfillment is called jawab al-shart, the fulfillment of the condition. Okay. So Allah is saying, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, whoever turns away. Okay. So what will happen to him? What is the fulfillment? What will be the outcome? What will be the result? وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْقَى. But whoever turns away from my reminder will have a life. Life of hardship. Dhanka. Actually, the dhank is the narrowness. So your life will become so narrow. So narrow. You can't breathe. And this is what you feel. People are saying, I'm not happy. I'm worried. I'm anxious. Go to the clinics of the psychiatrists and psychologists and see the long queue. People having psychological problems, depression. Anxiety, all these types of diseases. They are living in this dhanak, this narrowness of life. They have money, they have still, they are missing something. Yes, you are missing something because the other driving force, the source of the driving force, the soul, which makes you a human being, is suffering. And you have neglected it. And you don't know how to quench the thirst of that crying soul. You don't know. So you think you can remove this depression or this sorrow or this sadness by alcohol, by drugs, by women. But that makes your situation worse. Worse. Like a person who's thirsty and he is drinking salty water. That will not quench your thirst. If you drink the water of the sea to quench your thirst, that it will only intensify your thirst. So whoever turns away from my dhikr, from my guidance, from my remembrance, my reminder, which I sent for them, inna lahu, this is inna is what? Harf tawkid in Arabic. Fa inna lahu musatuli, for surety, for him, Allah is confirming and affirming, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. He's going to have this life which is so narrow, so unhappy, so miserable life, life full of hardships, worries, anxieties. And on top of this, what will happen? وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. We'll raise him blind. We'll raise him on the day of resurrection. We will resurrect him. He will come out of his grave or her grave. Blind. أَعْمَى. Blind. He doesn't see his way. You see, la ilaha illallah, may Allah make it easier on us on that day. That day وبعثر ما في القبور. This ayah, bu'thira. The graves will be scattered. They will not open gracefully and easily. No, they will be opened so quick. And they will be scattered and people are out of their graves. Naked. Shivering, trembling. They don't know where to go. And you come out and you are blind. Blind. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Be resurrected blind. The same surah Taha, ayah 125, Allah says, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. He will say, my Lord, why have you raised me blind when I was once seeing? In the dunya, I was not blind. Physically, I was not blind, yes. Spiritually, I was blind. But physically, I was not. And now I am raised up, resurrected, blind. قال ربي لما حشرتني أعمى قد كنت بصيرة. My Lord, why have you raised me up blind when I was once seeing? Allah answered him, ayah 126, Surah Taha. قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها. قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. Allah will respond. It is so, just as our revelations came to you and you neglected them. So today, you are neglected. This is your reward. You neglected our revelations. Today, we will neglect you. We ignore you. You have been ignoring my instructions, my teachings. You rejected my messengers. So now, bear the consequences. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا. It is so. Just as, because our signs, our revelations, our ayat, my verses came to you, but you didn't pay heed. You were heedless and you neglected them. فَنَسِيتَهَا. That means you ignored the proofs, the signs that were presented to you, shown to you. Today, you are neglected. So, in addition to the miserable life in this world, which humanity is going through, and there's no way out for humanity except to come back to Allah, to come back to their creator and to follow his guidance, to follow the revelation, which is still in its pristine form. The revelation that has not been adulterated, and will never be adulterated. And no one can change it. And that is Al-Quran and the Islam. So the solution, my dear brothers and sisters, for the misery of humanity, for the suffering of humanity is Al-Islam. Yes, Al-Islam is the solution. To come back to Allah. Otherwise, you lose this world, this life in this world, and you have miserable life, and then the great loss is in the next life. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Then the ayah after that, 127, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجِزِي مَنْ أَسْرَفَ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ وَأَبْقَى. This is how we reward whoever transgresses and does not believe in the revelations of their Lord. The punishment of the hereafter is far more severe and more lasting. La ilaha illallah. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي مَنْ أَسْرَفَ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ. This is how Allah says, we reward, we compensate. This is how we reward whoever asraf, to transgress. Because the israf is to go to extremes, to cross all the limits. Cross the limits. As Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. So, say, oh my servants, أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That means you wronged yourself beyond any imaginable limit. You wronged yourself. You cross all the limits. You committed all types of sins. All types of sins. Even the sins maybe Shaitan himself didn't think of. You committed. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Tell them, oh my servants, who went and crossed all the limits in sinfulness and in sinning. See the mercy of Allah. See the rahmah of Allah. See how much He loves you. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. My Lord, no sin I left except that I committed. I know. But all your sins, in comparison to my mercy, they are nothing. Nothing. So don't think your sins cannot be forgiven by me. I can forgive them. That's why when you pray to Allah, don't say, oh Allah, forgive me if you wish. say, oh Allah, forgive me. And you should be certain that Allah will forgive you. Ya ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة ولا أبعد. Oh son of Adam, were your sins to reach this clouds, your sins to reach the clouds, then you meet me without associating any partner with me, I will forgive you all your sins and I don't mind. Allahu Akbar. If your sins were to reach the cloud, hit the clouds. That means what? Your sins filled the whole earth. And then started to pile up and reach the clouds. Then you meet Allah without associating any partner, He will forgive you. So do not lose hope. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of Allah's mercy. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Verily, Allah forgives all types of sins, including the shirk, if you repent. إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Certainly, He is often forgiven, most merciful, and often merciful. So Allah is the غفور, the forgiven. Rahim. So here, man asraf. So the israf to go to cross the limit. كذلك نجزي من أسرف ولم يؤمن بآيات ربه. So this one who crossed the limits, trespassed the limits. ولم يؤمن بآيات ربه. Whoever transgresses and does not believe in the revelations of their Lord, he did not believe in the wahi. وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ أَبْقَى. And the punishment of the hereafter is far more severe and more lasting. Suffering and the punishment in the earth is nothing in comparison to what is there ahead, what awaits the one who rejects Allah's guidance. Jahannam, the hellfire, so dark, so black, its fuel, men and rocks. The drink, boiling water, and the pus of the people of hellfire. That is the punishment in the hellfire. وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدْ. More painful. More severe and more lasting. Doesn't stop. Continuous punishment. كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب. So every moment their skins are burnt, we replace their skins with the new skins. Why? To taste the punishment. La ilaha illallah. Because the senses that make you to feel the pain are just under the skin. The receptor, the senses. So if the skin is burnt, senses are burnt. So you don't feel. That's why when you get the jab or the injection, okay? You feel the moment the needle goes in. After that, you don't feel it. Okay? So Allah replaces their skins in the hellfire. So whenever the skins, and see the expression in the Quran, nadijat juludu, the skins became roasted. A new skin is formed. So continuous torture. May Allah save us from the fire. Allahumma jinnam min al-nar. Allahumma jinnam min al-nar. Allahumma jinnam min al-nar. So this is what will happen. So Allah is saying, وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ وَأَبْقَى. أَبْقَى. More lasting. Then the ayah to follow, 128, Allah says. أَفَلَمْ يَهْدِي لَهُمْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ يَمْشُونَ فِي مَسَاكِنِهِمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي النُّهَى. Then, has it not become clear to them how many generations we destroyed before them as they walk among their dwellings? Indeed, in that are signs for those of intelligence. Let us reflect. أَفَلَمْ يَهْدِي لَهُمْ. Haven't they realized? Has it not become clear to them? فَلَمْ يَهْدِي لَهُمْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا. كَمْ has two meanings. عَدَدِيَّة, to ask about the number. كَمْ كِتَابًا قَرَأْتَ, how many books have you read? And also the other meaning, which means so many, to denote the greatness of the number. So here, it's not asking about, it's not inquisitive, it's not a question to ask about how many books you have read. No. It tells you there are so many. كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ. Not how many we destroyed. No, it tells you there are so many generations we destroyed. So many generations we destroyed before them. How many generations we destroyed? Let us reflect, my dear brothers. Read the history. Perished nations. What happened to the nations, to the human beings before the flood? What happened to them? Finished, drowned. And a new nation is formed. From Noah and his children. Okay, that's why, okay, we have Sam and Japheth and Ham. These are the children of Noah. And all humanity, this big family, are descendants from the children of Noah, alayhi salam. How about those before? Washed away. And then, after that, many nations were destroyed because they became rebellious. What happened to the Thamud and Ad and Fir'aun, his people? So that's why if you travel and see their ruins and what they left behind, Allah destroyed them. So Allah is telling us, don't you see? Why don't you deduce lessons from what happened to the nations before you? They were more powerful than you. See what they did. See their works. Thamud, they carved cities into the mountains, in the mountains. And they built a city that there is no city, no parallel for it in the history of man. This city, archaeologists are saying, is buried under the sand dunes in Arabia. Iram, that al-Imad. Iram, the city of the massive columns. التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. There's no city like it. In the entire earth. No city like it. Where is it? Got it. See the pyramids, which is still puzzle for the scientists today. How they managed to construct such massive buildings, pyramids, which are actually tombs for the pharaohs. So Allah is saying, drawing our attention, reminding us, فَلَمْ يَهْدِ لَهُمْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ. And this kam al-khabariyya, not al-adadiyya, not the numerical kam, it is informing, the informative kam, or the kam that informs us there are so many. Ikhbariyya, khabariyya. Kam ahlakina qablahum. So many generations we destroyed. So what does it mean here? Allah is telling, I destroyed many generations. And if you keep trespassing and following and treading on their path, this is what is going to happen to you also. And if you turn away, as Allah said, when you tawallu, istabdil qawman ghayrakum, thumma la yakuna amthalakum. If you turn away, Allah will substitute you with others who are better than you. They will not be like you. كما أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون يمشون في مساكنهم. So Allah is telling us, what is wrong with you? Don't you reflect? Don't you see what happened to the nations before you? Many generations. I destroyed them. Now that you walk among their dwellings. You walk among their dwellings and you don't deduce lessons. You go to their dwellings taking selfie instead of crying, instead of deducing lessons. That's why the Prophet, when he passed by the dwellings of Thamud, the northern part of Saudi Arabia today, he walked quickly and he told the Sahaba, cry. If you can't cry, pretend to cry. And don't touch anything. Don't take water. Don't take food, because things remain intact. Because the places that Allah destroyed, one should not go to these places. And if it happened that you pass by, then cry and walk quickly. The Prophet, when he left from Arafah, after the day of Arafah and the Hajj, he passed by the valley of Muhassar, the valley in which Allah destroyed the battalion of the elephant, the army of the Abraha, the Abyssinian, who came to destroy the Kaaba. So when he was crossing the valley, he crossed it so hastily, so quickly. We destroyed before them as they walk among their dwellings. يَمْشُونَ فِي مَسَاكِنِهِمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي النُّهَى. Allah is saying, indeed, in that are signs for those who are intelligent. Signs for those of intelligence. لِأُولِي النُّهَى. النُّهَى means عُقُول, minds. Those who have minds, those who reflect, those who think and deduce lessons. Also Allah said, my dear brothers and sisters, in Surah Al-Zukhruf, ayah 36, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِيمٌ. If anyone withdraws himself from remembrance of Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful, we appoint for him an evil one to be an intimate companion to him. Let us reflect. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Whoever turns away and withdraws from the remembrance of Ar-Rahman, the remembrance of Allah, the Most Merciful, Ar-Rahman. So you shun the dhikr of Allah, because the dhikr of Allah gives you life. Dhikr al-Rahman gives life to your heart, gives life to your soul. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, ala bi dhikr Allah tatma'innu qulub. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find peace, tranquility, serenity. You feel sad, start the dhikr. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah. Subhanallah, bihamdih, subhanallah al-azim. Say, al-du'a al-mustajab. Allahumma inni abduka wa abnu abdika wa abnu amatika nasiyati biyadik madin fiya hukmuk adlun fiya qadha'uk as'alka Allahumma kul ismin walak sammayta bihi nafsaka wa anzalta fi kitabika wa allamtahu ahadan min khalqika wa istatharta bihi fi ilmi al-ghaybi indaka an taj'al qur'ana rabi'a qalbi wa nura basari wa jala'a huzni wa dhahaba hammi wa ghammi. Ya salam, this is a beautiful dua. You feel sad, worried, say this dua. Wallahi, by Allah. If you read it from the bottom of your heart sincerely, by the time you finish it, you see the relief. You see the relief. So the dhikr, my dear brothers and sisters, always keep yourself engaged in the dhikr. Keep this tongue always busy with the tahleel, tasbih, istighfar, always. لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله من ذكر الله. This tongue should be always wet because of the dhikr. Our Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, listen to his fatawa on the program Nur Ala Darb. Right? You could hear his tongue is moving. The gap between the pose in which the interviewer is arranging the questions, you see, you could hear. La ilaha illallah. His tongue is moving. That's it. Look. You sit with him when he is eating. Before taking the second morsel, his tongue is moving. Dhikr. That is the salaf. That is the life of our forefathers. Dhikr. Because the dhikr gives life. The dhikr strengthens the iman. The dhikr is a sign and a proof that you are not munafiq. Because the munafiq hardly makes dhikr. So if you are making dhikr, that means you are not a munafiq. You are not a hypocrite. So the Prophet, they hear him. They are counting his tasbihat always. He's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, al-dhikru lil-qalb. Al-dhikru lil-qalb. Kal-ma'i lil-samak. The likeness of the dhikr to the heart is like the water for the fish. Take out the fish out of water, the fish out of water. What will happen to that fish? It will die. The same thing. No dhikr, your heart will die. Your heart will die. And your heart will become so hard. So verily, ala bi dhikr Allah tatma'innu al-qulub. This tranquility and serenity and peace comes from the dhikr. You shun the dhikr and you leave the dhikr, your heart will die. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Because the dhikr make you always a remembrance of Allah. So now you shun and you left remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla Rahman. What will happen to you? Who will be? When you are in the dhikr, who's around you? Who is around you? The angels. Angels. They like you. They love those who remember Allah. Now, no dhikr. What will happen? Shaitan will be your companion. The shaitan. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. We appoint for him. Okay, you leave the dhikr, see what will happen to you. We appoint for him an evil one, shaytan, to be an intimate companion to him. فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. This shaytan is with him. Okay. There. Shaitan from the jinn or shaitan from the human? And the shaitan from among the human beings is worse, more dangerous. More dangerous. Because the shaitan of the jinn, when you say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, he leaves you. Shaitan from the jinn, he'd say, A'udhu billahi mink. May Allah protect me from your evil. And he's laughing at you. Come on, let's go. So Allah is saying that if you are in the dhikr, you'll be protected. You leave the dhikr, this is what will happen to you. نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانَ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. We appoint for him an evil one to be an intimate companion to him. Also Allah says in Surah Al-An'am, وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا ولو شاء ربك ما فعلوه فذرهم وما يفترون. And thus we have made for every prophet an enemy. Devils from mankind and jinn, inspiring to one another, decorative speech, elegant words, in delusion. But if your Lord had willed, they would not have done it. So leave them and that which they invent. So Allah is saying in Surah Al-An'am 112, وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا سبحان الله. According to his divine wisdom, Allah made for every prophet عدو, enemy, for every prophet شياطين الإنس والجن, the devils from among mankind and the jinn, they are against this prophet. Human beings and shayateen al-jinn. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, the toughest test ever was given, it was given to Allah's prophets and messengers. They suffered more than anyone. They went through tests, trials, sufferings. As Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, O you fool, this way, the way of the da'wah, the way of the Islam, the way of the taking the message, هذا طريق يا مخنث العزم والهمة. O you who has weak motive and aspirations. هذا طريق ناح فيه نور. This way, this path, the path, this path, Noah cried in it. While treading on this path, Noah, 950 years he cried. ناح فيه نور. قتل فيه زكريا and Zechariah was killed, executed, beheaded. زكريا was not beheaded, was cut into halves. نشر بالمنشار. Prophet Zechariah was cut into halves with the hoxo. Yahya was beheaded. Musa, as a baby thrown into the sea. Isa, alayhi salam, we know what he went through. And finally, they decided to kill him, and Allah saved him and took him out. And Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lost his molar teeth. They placed the dirt on his back. So Allah is telling us, this is what happened to my own prophets. So he is telling the callers and the dua, this is the way to the Jannah. What happened to your prophets is going to happen to you. Okay? So the way to the Jannah is not furnished with red carpets and bathed for you. No. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا شياطين الإنس والجن. So we have made for every prophet an enemy. Devils from mankind and jinn. Inspiring to one another. These devils, they inspire one another. يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض، يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا. So inspiring to one another, this decorative speech, elegant words, in delusion, to delude you. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوا. Had your Lord willed, He would not have done it. But Allah willed these things universally. Remember, the will of Allah, iradatullah, two. Kawniya, shar'iyya, universal will and the legal will. So the things that Allah allowed to happen, to take place, though He didn't, He doesn't lie, He allowed that according to His universal will, and there is a divine wisdom behind that. Behind that. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. So leave them and that which they invent. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us. If we reject His guidance, if we drift away, if we choose to not follow His instructions, His teachings, then we have to bear the consequences. And this is what is going to happen to us. And this is what we are experiencing. And this is what we are going through as human beings. Humanity entirely is suffering and going through these things. The cure, the remedy to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah guide all of us and bring us back to Him. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet Him and He is pleased with all of us. Ameen. And may Allah forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah on the haqq. May Allah unite our hearts on the haqq, and may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, for your patience, dedication, and your attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah give us the strength to follow His path until we reach and maintain our goals. Ameen. With your permission, Sheikh Salam, can we please take some questions?
Inshallah.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I would like to know if it's permissible to sell bubble gum, particularly the one that has the fake cartoon, which is like a tattoo, and the children then stick it on their arms, but it's a fake tattoo. They want to know if that's permissible.
Stickers and they are tattoo?
Yes, but they're fake.
Okay. No, they should not do these things, even though if it is not real tattoo, but it looks like the tattoo. So if I see you having this, I think that you have the tattoo. So Muslims should always avoid doubtful matters, okay? And always you should not do something that will make people think bad about you, okay? Because the tattooing is haram, as we know, the tattoo is haram. And this is the problem. The problem today, especially women, I don't know. And then they get upset with us and angry. When the Prophet ﷺ said they have little minds. Okay. Little minds in the sense of what? Naqsat aql wa deen. There is deficiency in their way of thinking. And they are the customers of all this stuff. Okay. Eyelashes. They go and stick one by. nails, they go and buy and stick nails, because they are not content. They don't have this contentment with what Allah has given them. They're not satisfied with Allah's creation. They always feel something is missing. What does the beauty tell me to go and buy artificial nails and you stick them? Islam says from the fitrah, the nature, disposition that Allah created us upon is to cut and clip the nails, not to grow your own nails. Now they are growing their own nails and they buy artificial nails and stick on that. What is this? My dear sisters, wake up. You are a Muslimah. Don't be just running breathless after the fashion. This is the fashion. This is how things. This is how you should cut your hair. This is how you should dress. And you have bile of magazines about these issues, about the fashions. Okay? This is the latest, huh? Fashion. This is the latest. What is latest? Latest. Subhanallah. Most of the women who work, most of this income, their salaries, spent on these things. So the Muslim should have this rida, contentment, and should not change Allah's creation. And be happy with what Allah has given you. Don't imitate men. So, tattooing is halal. To have a tattoo is halal. Now, there are stickers you want to stick. Why? So you want someone, if he sees, oh, there is tattoo, to say, may Allah curse you. You want that? When Islam tells us that we need to protect ourselves and not to give people any clue to doubt our piety and our righteousness and our deen and our uprightness. The Prophet ﷺ, he was in the i'tikaf, in the masjid. And then Safiya, his wife, came to visit him, and her home is a little bit far. And it was night. So the Prophet ﷺ decided to come out from the masjid, from the i'tikaf, to accompany her till she reaches home. In the way, two of the Sahaba, they saw the Prophet ﷺ with a woman. So they walked quickly. He said, slow down. Innaha Safiya. She is my wife, Safiya. The Sahaba said, oh, Prophet of Allah, subhanAllah. We could never think anything about you. Said, no, shaitan flows within the stream of blood of the son of man, son of Adam. So here the Prophet ﷺ immediately defended himself so that they should not think anything about him. That's one thing. Second thing, the ulama, they said, and this here shows the rahmah in the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. He decided to talk to them so that shaitan will not play with their minds and put that idea in their mind. Because the moment you start to doubt your prophet and his honor and his honesty, and then this will take you out of Islam. So in order to block the way and stop and prevent them from satanic whispers, he addressed them. So always, my dear brothers and sisters, protect your reputation. Don't do anything that people will think bad about you. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, Sheikh. Very good. Yes, yes. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Sadman Saqib, can you please unmute your mic and go ahead and ask your question?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khair for the session. Alhamdulillah, very beneficial as usual. Sheikh, I have a question regarding, you know, da'wah. I recently met a Muslim who just, you know, left Islam. And he asked me a very serious question all the time that I think he has been affected with the homosexuality. And this is why he left Islam. So he asked me that, is it okay to be Muslim and also, you know, supporter of LGBTQ or like practicing homosexuality? So I stuck in this question and I couldn't answer him because I told him that this is not good, it's sinful. But I really don't have the answer. If you can shed light on this, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. See, this is the shaitan. The shaitan has many ways to mislead people. Remember, the shaitan could either mislead us through doubts, by doubts, or through desires, lusts. So if he fails to convince you through doubts, so he comes through the shahawat, desires. So this person now, he's a homosexual. Homosexuality is a sin, is an abomination, a major sin. Okay, but it's not kufr, it's not disbelief. So if a Muslim is a homosexual, this will not make him kafir. He's a sinner. He's a sinner. So he should not leave Islam because he's a homosexual. As a matter of fact, should remain as a Muslim and practice the deen and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure him and to remove this desire from his heart. Not to fall totally in the on the lap of the shaitan and leave Islam, because that is what the shaitan wants. See, the shaitan, when he makes you commit a sin, he will not leave you there. No. Shaitan is just, he pulls our legs. And that's why you progress, you develop. You go deeper and deeper into the mire of sinfulness. He pulls your legs more and more. You started by just smoking a cigarette, then the weeds, then marijuana, then all. He will take you. Will he leave you? No. They will make you to commit crimes, to kill, to join gangs. Will he leave you? No. There, no. Until you leave Islam. The moment you leave Islam, he's happy. That's why the ulama, they say, a sin breeds another sin. A sin breeds another sin. So this brother has to repent, come back to Islam. And if this, he carried on, continue sinning, this should not stop him from praying, fasting, and doing the other commitments. And he is sinful, and he has to understand this. And he should cry and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely to help him to get rid of this, to remove that feeling. And he can seek medical help, medication. Homosexuals can be treated. They can be treated. And they can have normal life. So this is my advice for him. May Allah guide him and may Allah grant him the ability and give him the tawfiq to leave this bad habit. I mean, this is my advice. Is this clear, Akhi? Also the same thing, maybe in the da'wah also, someone comes and say, I want to become a Muslim, but I am homo, I am homosexual. Say, no, come, become Muslim. Inshallah, then you will leave homosexuality. Become a Muslim. Don't let homosexuality stop you from becoming a Muslim. I'm alcoholic. I can't quit drinking alcohol. Become a Muslim. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he accepted from the man and he said, I like Islam, but I have resistance, some issues in my heart. Say, accept Islam. Okay? Let's say now, you are kafir and you are alcoholic. Then you become a Muslim and you are alcoholic. It is far better than staying as kafir and alcoholic. Because now you are a Muslim, you're not kafir, and if you die, it's up to Allah to forgive you or to punish you. And if he punishes you, you will never stay in the hellfire forever. You'll come out from it, which is far better than staying and remaining as a disbeliever, where you will remain in the hellfire forever. The same thing. A sister, she is married and her husband is not interested, and she's interested. And she knows that she has to leave her husband. So she's decided to become a Muslim and stay for a while with her husband. She's sinful. But we should not tell her you cannot become Muslim unless and until you leave your husband. Even if she carried on living with her husband, she is sinful, but she is not kafir. And the scholars, they elaborated and expounding on this issue quite extensively in their books. Next question, please.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh, for the clarification.
Okay, this brother has asked this question before, but it just needs some clarity. Is a financial institution allowed to? Is a financial institution allowed to offer services such as school fees, funding, traveling logistics, flight booking, and financial services in general, whereby the institution sponsors these services and the beneficiary pays back over a period of months, and the institution charges them for the services rendered. Will this translate into riba or not?
Okay, this question, my dear questioner, provide me with more inputs, okay, about the nature of what they are doing exactly, and forward the question and you'll get the answer, inshallah. Next question, please.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. What is the best, to lead the congregation prayer or to pray with gaps due to COVID government restrictions?
Would you mind repeating whether to
pray? Yeah. Should you leave the congregational prayer or they should just continue going to the prayer and just follow the guidelines made by the government?
Okay. So the question I was asking, what is better, to pray at home or to go to the masjid, though the rows are not foot to foot and...
yes, exactly.
So they are praying distant from each other, maintaining the instructions of, regarding COVID-19. Now, to attend the congregational is better, far better. Unless you have other excuses, for example, you are sick, you're sick, okay, and you fear that you might contract and get the infection. So in that case, you are excused to exempt to pray at home. So if you are sick, you have other diseases and your immune system is not that strong, you can pray at home. Next.
Okay, that was clear to this questioner. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh, can you please give your opinion on this book titled Advice for Strengthening One's Memory and Curing Forgetfulness by Sheikh Badr Ibn Ali Al-Otaibi?
I have no idea about this book, so just if you can send me the name, I will check it, inshallah, and I will let you know, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, dear Honourable Sheikh Salim. It's sunnah to say seven times, Allahumma arjirna minan nar, and to say also seven times, Allahumma inna as'alkul jannah, after each fajr prayer or salah.
The dua is there, but to say and to apply it, that after the salawat, after fajr, I haven't come across something that this is among the adhkar that you say after the salah. But you can say it in any other time, but to say, remember, what makes something bid'ah, when you start practicing it and make it that at this particular time, like to in the adhkar of the salah, and you add something which is not part of the adhkar. Though in itself, the dua is allowed, but not at this particular moment. So stick to the adhkar that reported in the hadith of the Prophet. And then this dua, yes, it is reported that you read seven times. You can say it any other time, and Allah knows best. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, inshallah. Question, can someone work in an organization that represents banks lobbying on behalf of financial institutions? Can someone
represent banks? That means they, in what sense they represent them? They are part of the banks? So to work in any organization deals with riba, and the business is based on riba, a Muslim should avoid working with such organization. Because riba is not something that should be treated lightly. Because Allah wages war against whoever involves in riba. So to work in banks is haram. So any organization that is its business is based on riba Muslims should not work in such organizations. I hope this is clear. Next.
Yes, inshallah. If not, we'll give it, please give me more information if you want another answer. Can Sheikh please give his personal advice to improve our memory?
You see, the best advice from Allah Azza wa Jal that we taqwa. We have to fear Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ So fear Allah, Allah will teach you. So taqwa is the cure. You shun the haram, you eat halal, you safeguard your senses from the haram, then you will be able to focus, you'll be able to memorize, you'll be able to do many things. But if we are leaving our senses loose, uncontrolled, indulge into sinfulness, no matter what you do, the ilm, the knowledge will be not given to you, because the ilm is light. Light. And Allah gives this light only to whomever He loves. Whoever he loves. As Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, Shakawtu ila waki'in su'a hifzi. Fa'arshadani ila tarkil ma'asi. Wa akhbarani bi anna al-ilma nurun wa nurullah la yuhda'i asi. So Imam Shafi'i, he said, he complained to his sheikh, Waki' ibn al-Jarrah. Said, Shakawtu ila waki'. I complained to my teacher, waki'. Su'a hifzi. I cannot memorize. Because Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was giving photographic memory. He said about himself, when I'm reading the book, I cover page number 2 with my sleeve. Because if I saw it with my I'll memorize it before page number 1. So I cover it. So he said, one day I tried to memorize, I couldn't. So something changed. So I ran to my sheikh to ask him. So he told me, Muhammad, check yourself. What happened? What did he do? So he said, Shakawtu ila waki'in su'a hifzi. I complained to waki' about my memory. I cannot memorize. فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكَ الْمَعَاصِ He told me, sins, that is it. Leave, shun sins. Shun sinning. فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكَ الْمَعَاصِ وَأَخْبَرَنِي And he informed me. بَأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ He informed me that knowledge is light. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ And this light of Allah, the knowledge which is divine gift, لَا يُهْدَى الْعَاصِ It will not be given. As a gift, not be given to a sinner. So if we want to memorize, if we want to retain the knowledge, sinning. We should not wash haram, we should not listen to the haram, we should not talk haram, ghiba and this, we should not eat haram. This is very, very important thing. Then, the ulama, they mentioned, okay, they said, what will help you to retain the knowledge after the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the dua, and the istighfar, and the sincerity, and the ikhlas. Is to repeat, repetition. You are memorizing one ayah or one page of the Quran, read it at least minimum 20 times. Hadith, more than 20 times. Minimum 20 times you read it. So because when you repeat, it leaves the temporary memory, this volatile one, like the RAM, and goes down to the deep memory, which will stay there forever. So repeat. Not the moment you think you memorize it, you leave after 5 times, 10 times. No. But keep repeating. So that it will stay. Also, eat halal. Very important thing. And then they mentioned, especially the Muhaddithun, scholars of Hadith, they always recommend the raisin, like the sultana raisin, the zabib, say it is good for the memory. And to have someone with you who will help you, so you are helping each other, memorizing together, listening to each other, this will help you, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Ameen. Next.
Okay, inshallah. The questioner asking about the bank, she says that the organization is not a bank, but they just lobby on behalf of banks or represent the bank.
The same. Because Allah says, وَتَعَوْنَ عَلْ بِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى لَتَعَوْنَ عَلْ إِذْنُ وَالْعِدْوَانِ. They should not help banks who are dealing with riba. So to become a facilitator and you help this bank, you are helping them. You should not help them. So then you are sinful. Because Allah is saying, وَتَعَوْنُوا عَلْ بِرِّ وَتَقْوَى لَتَعَوْنُوا عَلْ إِثْمِ وَالْعِدْوَانِ. So cooperate and help each other regarding birr, righteousness. Birr, which is generic term for all types of good. For good and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَوْنُوا عَلْ إِثْمِ. Do not help each other regarding sinfulness and regarding sinning and haram and transgression. So you should not facilitate and help these organizations, the banks, and become their representatives. You should not be like that. Next.
That was the last question, Sheikh Salam. Jazakallah khair for your patience with the questions. Okay, if you'd like to finish.
That was the
yes.
Alhamdulillah, barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, preserve you, protect your family. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds and your deeds. And may Allah overlook and forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. Ameen. And may Allah elevate your status in this world and the one to come. And may Allah grant shifa to all those who are sick. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience, attendance, and dedication. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming sessions, I leave you, inshallah, in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.